All right, we're going to talk about right now the case involving the GOP alternate electors who Dana Nessel's office say were fake electors as they claim Trump's victory in the 2020 election. Well, there was a preliminary examination that was held. Six of them were in court. And the whole point of this, Kevin, is kind of set to decide if there's enough evidence for a trial, this critical juncture, it seems, in this particular case.
Yeah, is this a fair prosecution, or were these electors just trying to do their job the best they can? That is what is being talked about in this preliminary exam as prosecutors bring evidence forward and defense attorneys try and dispute it. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm great.
Do you have someone in this case?
I don't. I reviewed a couple cases and at the time didn't take on those. So no, okay. I don't.
Yep. I just wanted to clarify. So as you look at this situation in a preliminary exam, people should know the bar doesn't have to be very high to get it moved to the next court. But as you look at this case, how do you feel about the case that is being made, the evidence that's being presented?
Well, you know, it's a very, as you stated, and very clearly, it's a very low bar, probable cause that a crime was committed, probable cause that these people committed the crime. If you read through some of the cross-examination and some great work by the defense attorneys, I think there's still enough necessarily to get it to a trial, but I'm not sure necessarily there's enough to convict all 16 of these people at a trial. There is one person that got his case dismissed and turned to snitch or testify against the others. Here's where some of this, you know, looking at the host, and I haven't spoken with these defendants or these attorneys that represent them, but just looking at some of these defendants, I mean, I thought I saw someone at the age of 81, right? And you can see what was it that she was signing. Did she understand what she was signing? You know, there is a definite good jury trial question because you have to have the specific intent in a forgery case. People think of forgery. Joe Sixpack thinks that forgery is I'm signing a bogus check. I'm signing someone's check with their name, and that's the forgery. Here, the forgery is you're signing a document that is supposed to be submitted to the Congress of the United States to have our 16 electors certify, basically, for those 16 to go over to Trump. And that was that document that was the forgery. Well, to do that, you have to have, you know, the two things we say in law school, mens rea and actus reus. You have to have the guilty mind and the guilty act coincide. I can see where the defense on some of these elderly people that this is not what they intended. The other, you know, this is they were signing because they were told to do whatever, and that was that. They didn't have the specific intent to defraud. The others, you know, I think this case is more in the line of that. Yes, there's the law. And obviously, there's the politics of this case, which I think is going to be that's going to be what's going to be talked about and hashed out through the news.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because I don't want electors out there playing politics and doing things to try and favor one party or the other. But I don't want prosecutors playing politics either to be out there trying to favor one party or the other. Do you trust in the court system to figure out if this is politics or not?
You know, I've had cases where people have been charged and I won based you could see clearly and it was transparent where there was a prosecutor that charged because of politics. You have to put faith into the jury system. So your question's a bigger one. Do judges and others, you know, stand tall to see that this was not one of legitimacy, but one more of political ilk. Oftentimes, I don't see the system in favor of that. I see jurors that can pierce through that noise. But you know, this is going to be hashed out, and that's you know, the system. And the fact of the matter is, I think many of these, it was clear as day where the facts are, Biden won. It was not a question, right? It wasn't even close to some degree. You know, so therefore, having some thought process that you could go ahead and sign these documents to show that Trump won seems foolhardy to me. But there are, you know, that's why we have due process. That's why we have the cases go forward. And I too, after listening to and reading some of the cross-examination, I really thought Mary Chartier did a great job, an excellent job of setting it up. But I'm not sure it's going to be enough. And she's the defense attorney. I'm not sure it's going to be enough to get it dismissed at the district court level. But it very well may be enough at the circuit court level.
You know, the legal aspect of what they did, I mean, the larger issue here is, I know there's the, you know, signing of the document and whether or not that was, you know, fraud or they're trying to, you know, deceive. But there's this larger issue here of the whole, you know, the defense's position is that the Michigan Republicans were legally casting an alternate certification of electors. And there seems to be precedent of other states doing that in times past, even this accusation that, you know, Joe Biden was going to do the exact same thing if Trump won in 2020. Is there a legal framework that would support that kind of an action if there is a contested election scenario?
So the Constitution is pretty clear on how you get the electors, and now your question is one of bigger one, but here the state canvassers, the county canvassers, you know, certify that goes then ultimately to the person in charge of Michigan elections, which then presents it to Congress and it to our Congress, a legislative body, which dispatches it off to the United States Congress. And your question, I think, is a bigger one and more of a one that I'm certain of it, Tom, we're going to be facing these questions that you pose in upcoming, you know, political fights, if you will. And the mechanism in recounts and retallying the votes is placed within each county and each, you know, and asking and commanding through the legal system to get a recount on these things. That's what was triggered. All of those civil cases in the state of Michigan lost. And it was pretty clear to me that the due process for trying to get someone else, you know, saying, hey, listen, Trump won over here, that due process happened. And it turned out that he didn't. So that's the mechanism. The mechanism is through our court systems. And I candidly don't think there's a better one right now. So unless someone's got some other idea, but at the end of the day, we have to trust that if we don't agree with the outcome, that there's a mechanism put in place to do a recount. And that's ultimately what happened in a few places. Atrium County is probably the biggest hotbed of that whole thing.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right. Always appreciate having you on, and your perspective is important to us. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Appreciate it, Todd.
Thanks for having me, guys. As always.
Have a good one. More to come here. It's 760 WJR.